I'm Jenna.
And I'm Jill.
And we're sisters who talk about gut health on the internet.
No, literally, we talk shit.
Because we believe that gut health is the baseline of achieving long-lasting, optimal health.
AKA making sure it's you that controls your life and not your gut.
But let's be real, health isn't always presented in the most digestible way.
So whether you're trying to get your shit together,
literally,
or just want to learn more about how to take small steps toward a healthier lifestyle, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to our Gut Talk. The sponsor of today's episode is Element Electrolytes. And if you've been listening for a while, you know Element is our favorite, and we are huge fans for many reasons. It's a science-backed electrolyte ratio of potassium, magnesium, and sodium. And what you might not know about hydration is that it isn't just about drinking water. Being optimally hydrated is about optimizing your body's fluid ratios. And this fluid balance depends on many factors, including the intake and excretion of electrolytes. This is something that we've tried so hard to talk about on social media and bringing the awareness about optimal hydration. What electrolytes do is they boost energy, performance, and recovery. Electrolytes facilitate hundreds of functions in the body, including the conduction of nerve impulses, hormonal regulation, nutrient absorption, and fluid balance. Jill and I notice such a big difference when we are drinking water with electrolytes each day versus not, especially if it's really hot out, like the Texas weather we deal with, if we went into the sauna or not, or if we did a really hard workout. Now, I currently have grapefruit in my simple modern water bottle, and I brought it to the gym with me this morning. Other flavors that we love are citrus, orange, raspberry, and watermelon, but I'm obsessed with grapefruit right now. Anyway, you can go to drinkelement.com/gut talk to get a free sample pack with your purchase. That's drinkelement.com/gut talk for a free sample pack with purchase and try out one of our favorite flavors. We have the link in the show notes for you too. Now let's get into the episode. Welcome back, Gut Talk fam. And if you're new here, hi, welcome. We are so excited to have you. Today we are joined by a very special guest, Michaela Riley. She's a functional nutritionist, health problem solver, and brand owner of Be Balanced by Michaela on social media. Now, we have been social media friends with her for a little while now, and we have just seen her flourish with her educational content, especially on the topic of cortisol. And you may or may not have seen posts about cortisol lately, but we feel like it's so buzzy right now. So Jill and I really wanted to bring Michaela on the pod to discuss cortisol, like what it is, what it does, what high or low cortisol looks like, along with so many other topics. And Michaela has a very personal journey with dealing with so many health issues, especially starting at a very young age, that you'll hear about more at the beginning of this episode, and how her journey catapulted her to becoming the practitioner that she is today. She's helped countless women, is so amazing, gives so many resources, and this episode is just truly packed with so many tools, tips, tricks, and information for you to start taking control of your health, especially if you're dealing with hormone issues, thyroid issues, cortisol, etc. So you can expect to learn so much more about overexercising and its negative effects on cortisol levels and overall health, what it means to take time off and allow the body to rest and recover, which can actually improve your health, strength, muscle growth, etc. Identifying and addressing imbalanced cortisol levels through personalized testing. She talks about what tests to get, how to address thyroid health using testing and addressing cortisol levels. Again, there's a common theme, as you can see. How to improve puffiness, something Jill and I have dealt with in the past, swelling and other physical symptoms. Why slowing down, saying no, and not overcommitting are important to reducing stress. And how to find a more balanced approach with yourself and your health. We talk a lot about that, which is so, so important to just reducing those overall stress and cortisol levels, as well as just improving your quality of life. We talk about the nervous system, of course, and then we give you practical tips. Lots of things for you to take with you and apply it to your health. I'd also like to mention that Michaela takes clients on one-on-one and also has a really amazing membership called 12 that we linked in the show notes for you to check out. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Please welcome Michaela on Gut Talk.
Like we said, we're so pumped to have you on. Yeah. And I think one of the big reasons is cortisol these days is such a buzzword topic. There's like a lot of questions around the way that it's been used and like, where's the truth lie in it all? And like, cortisol is, I feel like, where gut health 2 years ago was kind of the buzzword. Cortisol is kind of getting its fame right now. It's yeah. Shine. So really excited to just dive into all of that. But go back and start with, where did you start getting interested in health? Were you sick? Were you just interested? Like, how did it all start for you?
I'm, first of all, really excited to be on. I feel like this will be a really fun conversation, so I'm excited. Yeah. But yeah, it started many years ago. I was always into health and fitness. I did all the sports possible. I was very active at a young age, and I didn't get my cycle at the same time like the other girls around me were. So I was, something is up, like, let's go see what's going on. So I went to my doctor, and of course she just prescribed me the pill and was like, this will make you have a cycle. Everything will be fine. And then like immediately my body literally just rejected it so hard. And I blew up like a balloon, like felt like somebody had taken a hose and filled me up with water. So to counteract all of those symptoms, I like really started getting into the dieting, the exercise chronically. And I was still playing sports too. So I was just literally beating my body into the ground, hoping that that was going to reverse everything that was being driven by the birth control, but also like the cortisol inducing activities that I was doing was also not helping the situation at all. So I had developed a pretty bad eating disorder and was just exercising to no end. And I got into group fitness coaching because I was working out so much and I loved working out. So I taught fitness classes for a really long time, actually, like HIIT style, spin classes, all of it. So I did that for a really long time. And then my body was just still so inflamed, as you could probably imagine. And I had like gut issues and bloating and just all the things. So then I was like, I need to figure out what's going on. All of the doctors and specialists I saw were not helping at all. And I had actually seen naturopaths, dietitians as well, like people that have, I saw you guys post this on Instagram today. They have all the degrees and letters behind their names, but like they were not able to help me in my journey. Like someone that really helped me in my journey that did a lot of functional lab testing on me and was really able to connect the dots. He is actually someone that I've mentored under and learned a lot from just with my own business. He was the one that was able to help me, and he probably has like the least amount of, he's very credentialed and knowledgeable, but like compared to some of the other people I saw, like probably the least. And I think that's really crazy because I know there's a lot of social media like shaming around what I do. So I think that's important to keep in mind. So I was able to find out that like cortisol had destroyed my body, my metabolism, my thyroid, my gut. And I had went on this many year healing journey, and it's not always linear, and it definitely took a lot of time to like figure out what was going to work for my body long term, just because it had been through so much. But I was able to kind of reverse all the symptoms that I had dealt with for so long, and like finally could live my life. And I will say too that I've been on all ends of the spectrum when it comes to health, because I feel like when I was going through my healing journey, like the seed oil craze and like check all your labels and do all this psychotic things with health was really big. And I had created almost unhealthy habits with trying to be so healthy. So now I feel like I'm at a point in my life too where I just like live with a lot of balance, and it has reduced a lot of stress too, just coming from that more balanced lifestyle and angle. Like you can still do all these other things that might be deemed as healthy and toxic, but still, you know, support your body. So that's kind of where I'm at today and a little bit of my background.
No, I love that. At what age were you prescribed birth control? And then at what age did you meet with that doctor who you credit your healing to?
So I got put on hormonal birth control at like 12, like so young. And
oh,
it was really
my
crazy.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was really crazy too, because now looking back at it, obviously I was so young and I hadn't quite gone through puberty yet, likely because I was just exercising so much and probably a little unintentionally underweight. But she ran like no lab work or anything to like try to see what was going on. She just put me on that and was like, all right, see you in like a year. Yeah, so I was put on that at like 12. And then I saw that functional doctor probably in high school when I was like six, 16-ish, 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there.
It's funny that you kind of said the water filling up like a balloon, because yeah. So on our TV is connected somehow to our mom's phone. And so when it goes into like saving mode or whatever it is, it's all of her photos. And so she keeps every photo. So it's us in high school, it's us in college. And the moon face that I had for years and years and years, that as soon as I got off of birth control and like actually did a lot of my healing, immediately went away. And my poor soul thought that like in college, I could like gua sha that away. I'm like gua sha-ing my life away trying to get it. And it just, it's like so sad, because at the time you have no idea what's going on. And so I think it's just so relatable what you said, like the over-exercising. I can't tell you how many times, it's like the classic story. It's like you do all the HIIT workouts paired with the eating plans, and then you're there so much that you might as well get a job at Orange Theory or Berries or wherever the heck you're going, because you're there so much, and then that's your community. And so it all feels right and wrong at the same time, right? It feels like, oh, this is my home, this is my community, this is how we feel good. But then simultaneously for you and for so many people out there, maybe it was just like exactly what your body didn't need.
100%. And I think too, it was really hard for me because fitness had become my identity almost. And I became a group fitness instructor. When this was all happening, I had to like come to a realization of like, this is not working for my body. I need to switch things up. And it was literally my job at that point. So I'm like having an emotional like breakup with my job and like this exercise thing. And it becomes, I mean, the hormones that are released when you exercise are like literally addictive. So, you know, exercise addiction is totally a thing. I definitely believe I had it.
What you're explaining is an identity thing. Like that was your identity. And you're speaking for me, for Jill, for so many women who, when we get on this path that we think is right for us because we see X, Y, and Z influencer do it, or the person who has the body goals that we want, we think that that's what we have to be doing to feel better and get skinnier. Or these days we just, you know, that's not our goal, but we want to feel good. And it's such an identity thing. And I had something similar when I first started to quote unquote heal, is I was so identified with this whole healing journey that I felt like if I didn't go 100%, it wasn't working. I wouldn't get the results that I wanted. It's that all or nothing mentality. And I think a lot of us, and you're the perfect person to say, like, you were going all or nothing and your symptoms were getting worse.
So when you first met with the practitioner that really helped you, what was his initial message to you? Like, did he test you for things? Like, how did you go about it? Because I'm sure it was such a different experience than all the other people you had seen before.
Yeah. And he actually has more of a fitness background, which I think that is really crucial in a lot of cases, because the majority of women that are investing in health coaching are not sitting on the couch eating brownies and Doritos. They're the ones that are overstressed and underfed 9 times out of 10. So he was really big because he has that fitness background. A lot of naturopathic doctors that I saw, or other just functional health practitioners alike, they didn't have that fitness background as much as he did. I provided him like all of my intake questionnaires, kind of like a whole timeline of like where I was and like how everything kind of had snowballed into all of the symptoms that I had. So I actually went back to like a lot of my doctors and were like, how long was I on this medication? Like trying to figure out exactly. So part of what happened with me as well is I was put on antibiotics for like 3 years. I should probably sue that dermatologist. 3 years for like some minor acne. And I'm sure that is not the first time I've heard that either. Amoxicillin is really common for people to be put on for acne, but not for 3 years. Like that will totally destroyed my gut and like my immune system, everything. So I sent him all of that. But the first things we did was run a Dutch test, get a full thyroid panel. And then I also did a GI map. So kind of getting that initial lab testing to understand like what the hell was going on. But I had told him like what I was doing exercise wise. And he was like, you need to slow the F down, girlfriend. Like, whoa. So the first thing I did was with him is just like start to pull back the exercise, which I was resistant to that. I mean, it's uncomfortable going from like 7 days a week of training to like you can only walk and stretch, that is really uncomfortable. But that was the first thing I started to do. And then all my labs came back and it was just like a whole wreck of things. And then also to on top of that, I was exercising so much and my body was so stressed, obviously, that I hadn't had a cycle for like 6 years. We also started addressing my nutrition, feeding my body up, like slowing down the exercise. So I was able to get my cycle back within like 6 to 7 months of working with him. But the cortisol issue was at the root of that. And my Dutch test kind of showed that as well. But it's always funny. I have our email threads and I'm still in contact with him all the time. But every once in a while, I'll just go back and look at our communication because it's just like so funny how much I've evolved. And all the pictures too that I post on social media with like my before and afters with how chronically bloated I was, it's all from like my email threads with him. So every once in a while, I'll do that to be like, we've come so far.
Right.
Now, a question, because I do think that over-exercising isn't something that's talked about that much, even more so, even if you know that maybe you over-exercise, you don't know how to stop. When you were going through that, now looking back on it, do you have any tips as to if there is someone out there who wants to maybe reduce it but feels like they can't because of that control or whatever it may be, like what would you guide them to maybe try or test out?
Yeah, it's really hard. I would say it's more mental than anything else, but reminding yourself that obviously what you're currently doing is not getting you anywhere. It's probably putting you back even further. That helped me a lot, kind of like start to realize, okay, this is not working. I need to try something different. And also too, once women start to actually rest, and sometimes you'll even feel this too, if you do like consistent weight training for like, you know, 3 weeks or something, and then you go on vacation, sometimes a lot of people feel like a lot less inflamed, which is like backwards thinking, but it's really that inflammation and water coming down from being a little bit inflamed from, you know, exercising, lifting, that type of thing. So that feeling also, I started feeling better like a few weeks after I stopped going so hard and my mental clarity was better. I didn't have chronic fatigue all day long. Like I swear, I would wake up so early and work out so hard, and then I couldn't stay awake like all day long. I was in college and high school too. This was going on and I like couldn't stay awake during classes. And my teachers were like, do you have a problem? Like, what is it going on? You like can't stay awake.
And right. I'm
like, but once, you know, you kind of shift your mindset around like exercise, truly, like, I'm not doing this to be skinny or toned or whatever. Like I'm really doing it for just to move my body and feel good. Then you can go for a walk or like do something low intensity. And that's like still movement. Cause I used to think too, like, oh, walking, like who would do that as a workout? But now I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like literally, like why don't I just run 10 miles? Like what? Right. But now, you know, if I can go out and do like a 20-minute walk, that's great. And that'll be movement for the day or whatever. So I don't know. It's really the mindset piece. And I can empathize with a lot of people because I was in that mindset for so long. It is really hard to like get out of that. And I think we're so conditioned, especially as women. I need to like exercise, go so hard. And like, that's going to get me the results and all these things. But it's just a little much for a lot of people.
Yeah. The last thing I'll add about that, which I know through watching you on social media and seeing your journey, is that what you realize is that slowing down, really nourishing and supporting your body and going through the process of helping yourself. So it's like taking that time off allowed you to propel when it came to strength, if that makes sense.
Well, and to add on to that, so I played softball in college. And at Duke, our strength coach was so adamant about like a deload/rest week because he's like, you go so hard and then your muscles have to have the time to recover. And I was one of those people, like I didn't do it to be skinny or look good. I was like a chronic, like I have to do extra because I have to feel prepared to play. And so I would try to do like extra workouts every single day. My strength coach one day was like, you're making yourself worse by doing extra. Do the work, yeah. Do it well, and then stop and give yourself a break. And I'm like, he has no idea what he's talking about. Like that was my initial reaction. And then after a while, I was like, oh, wait, I do feel so much better when I don't do the extra work. So it was kind of a weird experience, but in a different way, like it is very relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. And it's crazy, like D1 athletes, the amount of training that they put on college athletes in general, not just D1, is insane. And
It
I have
is.
a lot of clients too that have been, college athletes and that, and their bodies are like a mess now. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah.
That's another topic. That's a completely different conversation. If you want to come back and talk about that for an hour, I'm sure, we can make it happen. But okay, I want to get more into cortisol. Cortisol's super buzzy right now. You dealt with cortisol issues. Can we start at the basics and just say, what is cortisol and what does it look like when you have, let's say, imbalanced cortisol, if you will?
Your adrenal glands are two little glands that sit above your kidneys and they secrete cortisol. And actually, in very small amounts, it's anti-inflammatory. So, if somebody were to break into my house and causing chaos, you would hope that you have the adrenaline or burst of energy to go do something. That's the cortisol release, which also triggers fluctuations in dopamine and adrenaline, but cortisol is released. Initially, it can be anti-inflammatory. It helps keep your blood sugars balanced. It also controls that stress response from the brain level in chronic over exercising and in copious amounts. It leads to a whole slew of issues, and essentially it puts the body into that more or less survival mode and starts to shut down accessory functions that the body views as not totally necessary. So it'll start to slow down your digestion, create hormonal imbalances too throughout the body because it doesn't deem that as we need to literally survive, take more blood flow to the brain, to your muscles to keep everything going. So for a lot of people, that looks like weight gain, excess belly fat because it causes a ton of blood sugar and insulin dysregulation. Water retention is super common because cortisol can cause fluctuations in aldosterone, which makes your body retain water like a lot. So a lot of people get that puffy moon face or just feel like your rings are fitting tighter or just like looking puffy. It's because of cortisol and aldosterone. It causes those water fluctuations. And then irregular cycles is super common with women. The body will suppress progesterone and increase estrogen, which can lead to more PMS symptoms, breast tenderness, clotty cycles, longer cycles to shorter cycles. So if your cycle's like all over the place, it could be cortisol driven. If you have PCOS, cortisol can really drive a lot of those PCOS like symptoms. So hair growth on the face, cystic acne on the jawline, weight loss resistance. When your cortisol levels are high, all of those symptoms are exacerbated. So PCOS people, cortisol regulation is like so important, but those are just a few symptoms of high cortisol. Another thing that can happen is your sleep can really be disturbed by high cortisol. So you can feel really wired and tired at night, can't sleep, but then during the day, you don't have any energy at all. That's really common. And then low cortisol doesn't get a lot of love, but a lot of reasons why somebody ends up in adrenal fatigue or like super low flatline cortisol is because they were in a super high cortisol like output state for a while. So if somebody was chronically exercising for a long time or going through a breakup or a divorce or just a lot of emotional and mental stressors on top of that, eventually it'll lead to burnout where the body just won't produce cortisol and that creates fatigue all day long, brain fog, dizziness, weakness, that type of thing, low mood, low motivation. So yeah, that's a little bit of high and low cortisol and like the logistics of it.
So when you have a client come to you starting to express symptoms where you think it could be a cortisol issue, how do you go about it? What testing do you recommend? And how do you start that process? Because I'm sure there's so many women out there that are like, hold on, wait, you just described every symptom I have.
Yes, and that's the really important part. That was the important part of my journey is that getting those lab tests done were like so crucial because I could actually see what was going on in my body instead of trying to guess what's going on. So actually in all of my one-on-one packages, I include lab testing because I just know that it's so essential to understanding what's going on. Plus, too, when it comes to symptoms, especially related to cortisol, they can overlap a lot. So you can have someone that has high cortisol symptoms in some cases, but they have really low cortisol across the board. So it can be kind of tricky, and that's why getting lab testing is really important. Cortisol and hormones specifically, I like looking at the Dutch test. It is a dried urine test for comprehensive hormones, looking at your sex hormones, stress hormones, cortisol. And the reason why it's better than just like blood serum cortisol readings is because it gives you a 24-hour pattern throughout the day versus blood serum is just going to be one reading typically in the morning, which for some people, I mean, if you're on a budget and just trying to get some answers, that might be sufficient. But really looking at your full 24-hour pattern, because you do get pulses of cortisol production throughout the day versus if you were to go get your thyroid tested, that's going to be pretty stable throughout, like, you know, the day. You might have some minor fluctuations, but not really. So that's why I like using the Dutch test. So usually that's the first thing I do, but I also look at their intake form and like see what they're doing. If they're doing HIIT classes all the time, spin, whatever, all adjust their workouts like as soon as they come in and get them started on like addressing the foundations, and then run the GI map and the Dutch test.
I think one of the symptoms you were describing is like the puffy and swollenness. What are some things you can do at home to help that a specific symptom? Because I know for me, like, again, the gua sha, it does not work. So
yeah. When it comes to the facial swelling, I like doing cold therapy a lot, like with just your face. So like sticking your face in a bowl of ice is really good. Also doing something that I call the cortisol reset. So basically if you're feeling extra inflamed, puffy, bloated, you're having a hard time sleeping, I will implement a protocol called the cortisol reset protocol. And it's like a 3-day protocol where basically your focus is solely just resting. And I use a product called Cordis by New Ethics Formulations. It has ashwagandha, L-theanine, phosphatidylserine, and a couple other things, but those are the main ones. Those specific herbs are really great for lowering cortisol levels. So I have my clients take 2 capsules every 3 hours, so like copious amounts, therapeutic doses of all of those things all throughout the day. And then I have them sleep an extra hour. No exercise during that time besides walking. And then I will have them increase their water intake by like 15 to 20% to try to flush the water out of the body, using also electrolytes. So doing like a couple servings of electrolytes during the day as well. That's what I like to do for like immediately trying to bring down water, inflammation, and cortisol. So try that at home if you want to. But then the other thing, if it's just like still bothering you, is looking at your blood sugars can be super helpful. A lot of people that have elevated blood sugars or blood sugar dysregulation can struggle with a lot of inflammation and bloating in that. So that's what I'll do after that. So that would look like testing your blood sugars first thing in the morning when you wake up, and then 3 hours after each meal. So you should be in like the mid 80s and kind of staying stable throughout the day. What I see in a lot of people that struggle with those symptoms is they're in like the high 90s or like hundreds or way up in the hundreds after they've eaten a meal, letting me know that their insulin and glucose is not responding to the food that they're eating. So they might need to shift their macros or implement certain supplements to kind of help normalize that glucose response. But that is a huge trigger for puffy face, kind of like all of those trendy symptoms. So yeah, blood sugars is also a really big one.
The 3-day reset kind of sounds fun. Like, you're telling me that I need to sit at home and like cuddle up and watch movies and just like, and hopefully like de-blow and de-puff. Like, sign me up. Right? It's like, that's easy part. Right? It's like, you know, in fact,
actually. Right. I will actually do since that we're recording.
You don't have to tell me twice. Right.
Cancels all plans immediately.
Right. Okay, touching back on the cortisol aspect. Obviously, you said over exercising, but there has got to be more reasons why cortisol issues are so prevalent these days. I get our society is stressful. What have you seen as common themes when it comes to imbalanced cortisol levels?
for sure. I have a lot of clients in this category that they're not, or they've, you know, taken tips off social media. And like the first thing that they do is reduce their workouts. They're doing more low impact workouts, but they still have extremely high cortisol levels. I see it commonly in those type A personality people that are perfectionists with everything, overcommit themselves way too much. They really are taking like health to the extreme too. And I can personally say this from experience. When I was going through my healing journey, like I was checking all the labels for like seed oils and like avoiding social events because I was just so concerned with the food and the pans that they were using to cook, like just, you know, crazy things. So being so over the top with all of that stuff can definitely be at the root for why somebody has ongoing issues when it relates to cortisol, even though like physically you might not be pushing yourself as much, mentally, emotionally, there's a lot that comes from that. And even running a business or not having healthy work-life balance, that definitely can cause a lot of cortisol production that I see in a lot of women. Or being in a toxic relationship when you might not know it, that can be at the root of, you know, having excess cortisol. And that will definitely take a minute for someone to probably realize, and maybe not until they're like out of that situation for sure too. But yeah, those are like the common ones, mental and emotional, but I see it in a lot of those type A personality people.
Yeah. Jen always says you can't heal in the home that made you sick. And I think about that quite a bit because I've had some like really stressful job things and other life influences. And I certainly am more type A anyway. And learning to slow down, say no to things, not overcommit yourself, not feel like you have to be the healthiest person in the world can be so challenging. Like I can follow a list of food and ingredients all day long. And if you tell me to work out 3 times, then I'll do that. But sometimes the life changes that don't have to do with like eating or physical workouts are the hardest parts of changing. It's hard to buy in sometimes, I think, and believe that those are the things actually making you physically sick or physically unhealthy. But I feel like everyone we talk to who has experience in this world, like that's what they're saying. It's like, it's so much more your lifestyle as well as obviously the physical.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. And I personal tidbit is I tested my cortisol levels back in October and I run my own business, and that's definitely a lot of stress that I had, but I was also in a toxic kind of like situationship, if you will, seeing how my cortisol levels were like through the effing roof. And then I am now in like a healthy relationship and business got that more healthy boundaries. My cortisol levels like dramatically shifted.
Wow.
And the way that I like live my life a lot now versus then is I live with so much more balance. Like I don't know how many more times I can like reiterate that checking all the ingredients labels and just stressing about eating out and like what I'm gonna do or avoiding certain things or places. Really, I truly feel, I don't know that there's any evidence of it, but I feel like personally that removed so much stress from my life. And obviously, like we know that seed oils have a lot of inflammation and they're not beneficial to our health. I'm not saying like go drink canola oil or anything, but like a little bit is not going to right. A little bit is not going to kill you. And actually, the stress about trying to avoid it is probably going to kill you more than the actual thing itself. So yeah, it's just really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's the conversation I think people need to start having is there is a way to do health wrong, right? And I think that's where going back to what you said about the quick thing about the dietitians and their argument versus someone that ourselves who are more functional practitioners is the whole point I think they're trying to drive through is that you can absolutely overdo it. You can be checking everything and being so cautious about what you eat and, right, checking every single label to make sure that that has no ounces of canola oil. We even got a DM recently because we love, I know you do too, the Sweet Lauren's cookies. Yes. And they have, I think, like palm oil or some type of oil in it. And it was like, you eat those even though they, and it's like, yes. Because I would go crazy, which we've had experience going crazy, and I'm saying crazy in like the nicest way.
Yeah.
From trying to avoid all of this stuff. And I love hearing it from you because you're like, as someone who literally sees the physical tests and the numbers, being a little bit more relaxed about all of this, allowing yourself to be more flexible is probably the best thing you can do for yourself.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I feel like it removes a lot of stress, and you can definitely still like balance your hormones and heal your gut and still like have moderate amounts of those things. So, or not even like moderate amounts, but just like not stress to the max about it. And I think right. like there is a lot of research around like, you know, the negative side effects of those things. But yeah, mm-hmm. again, it's just like a whole stress thing.
So I always struggled with IBS. And so a lot of ingredients that dietitians will be like, oh, they're totally okay. I'm like, no, like when I was super inflamed, any ingredient that was like highly, highly processed or tons of seed oil, it was sending me to the bathroom. But I think one thing that people don't understand or don't talk about enough is like, there's a huge difference between actively like doing the work at the very beginning, especially if you're in a really sick place, and what you can do once you heal. Your body can tolerate so much more when you're yeah. in a good place, when your cortisol levels are healthy, when your gut microbiome is like in a good place. You can deal with those trace amounts and like have the cookie and enjoy the things. Sometimes people get stuck in that healing mindset where you have to be a little bit more careful sometimes. Like in my case, when we saw our practitioner, I was a mess. I was throwing up almost every day. I had horrible acne. Every symptom in the book, I had it. And so she was like, you have to be more careful at the beginning and then build yourself to the point where you can do those things. And that message like just isn't spread that often of like, that's why we call it a journey. You're not supposed to stay in that same place of like intense healing for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And I think like once you are able to build that like stress resiliency in your body, like you can, like you just said, you can handle doing those things. But yeah, in the beginning, when you're in that more chronic state, probably paying attention a little bit more to some more inflammatory things definitely is beneficial. And I think there's a spectrum of inflammation for sure. Like obviously Fruit Loops and like Fruity Pebbles, those are like, whoa, crazy.
Right.
But then you have these middle of the road health products that are like, oh, they have like the Sweet Lorraine's cookies. Do they have all the cleanest ingredients? No, but it's not like a Chips Ahoy or like whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like there is definitely a spectrum when it comes to that.
Talking more about relaxing, calming our body, really bringing down that stress. When it comes to your nervous system, so like being in that fight or flight versus the parasympathetic state, what do you teach and tell people to do when it comes to stress?
That really comes from the lifestyle aspect. So obviously looking at what they're doing to their body physically, are they overexercising, trying to pull that back into ranges, and then really just preaching on like all the lifestyle stuff, because I obviously don't know what everyone is dealing with emotionally. Some clients overshare more than others, which is great, but mm-hmm. You know, being able to let them know that like they need to create healthy boundaries around their work, their life, but stimulating the nervous system specifically with vagus nerve exercises is really great. There's a doctor, his name's Dr. Navah. He has a book and it's called Upgrade Your Vagus Nerve, or he just recently came out with a new one. And it's really great. Like he's dedicated his whole career to the vagus nerve and how to stimulate it. And it's really the most essential thing that you can do to get your body into that rest or digest state. So having my clients practice like breathing exercises, that's probably like the one of the most simple things. Another thing that I like, when you manifest and just think about negative things all the time, like you're never going to get to where you want to be. So having my clients write down one positive thing every single day, which seems so minor, but if you think about it, some people that's like really hard for them to do, or like even try to start to think about what could I write down that's positive, and trying not to make it something physical, like, you know, appreciate the things around you that aren't exactly happening to your body, I think can be super helpful. But breathing exercises, and I really, really like cold therapy for a lot of people that are in that really high cortisol state. It can be great for removing a lot of inflammation. So those are the few tips that I like. But again, I just tell my clients to like be realistic with yourself. Obviously going and asking someone that has never done any of that to go like meditate for 20 minutes, that's not going to be sustainable at all. So trying to just like add little things into their routine that are very attainable, sustainable, and they can they can do it quick and easy is what I like. So that's typically what I like to recommend.
You have a lot of reels recently using red light. Can you talk to us a little bit about like how you brought it into your practice and the benefits?
Yeah, so I really started doing it for my skin, which is really funny because I used to get regular like chemical peels and stuff. Since healing my body, I never struggled with like cystic acne, but I do have PCOS, so I tend to get more jawline acne than the average person. But I started using it because I was like, I'm going to try this and try to do like less facials and use less retinols and things at home, which I still do, but I was like, I'm going to get consistent with this. Like, let's see what it's all about. And I swear it changed so much. The other reason why I use it is because my thyroid, I have Hashimoto's. So keeping my antibody levels down is really important. So I use it for that too. But yeah, I just started getting really consistent with it 10 minutes a day, like super fast and easy. And I noticed crazy shifts with my skin. Like I haven't gotten a facial in like 8 months, I think. So
wow.
I'm saving money.
Yeah.
But I feel like my skin just glows a lot better. It helps with my sleep. If I miss a night of doing it, like I notice a huge difference in my sleep. And there's a lot of research behind it helping with your circadian rhythm and melatonin production. The research around it is really, really great. And it helps a lot with inflammation too. I think I mentioned that, but especially for people that have thyroid issues.
What red light are you using?
So I'm not affiliated with them at all, but it's the Platinum. I personally bought their product with my own money. The Platinum LED therapy. I bought one of the full panels, which it is definitely an investment piece for sure, but I am truly obsessed with it. And then I have the face mask by Dr. Dennis Gross. It's the same thing as like you would get with that full panel, but it's just like a little bit more targeted to your face. So usually what I do is I'll do the face mask in the morning. That one only goes for like 3 minutes. So I'll just like do that. And then at night I do like my big panel.
You see all of those TikToks and reels of like girls having this relaxing time with the red light face mask on their face. I find it to be the most stress inducing thing. Like I feel like I can't move. It's so uncomfortable to me. I have one, but I don't use it. And I know that I need to do the benefits. So I think
it's like claustrophobia.
I think so. Like, yeah. I'm just like, like you see the girls in their robes and they're like, they're doing multiple self-care things at once. And I so badly want to be that girl, but the anxiety I get when I put the mask on my
face.
Sounds
like a personal problem.
Feel stuck. Like, I
have a really funny story. So my boyfriend, I had gotten it and my boyfriend was like, I want to try it. His nose is like a little bit bigger than the average person. And the one that I have, it's like one size fits most. Yeah. And so I put it on him and he it didn't make him blind, but like it hurt his eyes for like a week. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I just made him my go God. Blind. That's hilarious.
No.
So he has like PTSD. Anytime I turn that thing on, he like literally like goes in the other room. I'm like,
wait, that's hilarious. He's like, no chances.
We're dying.
Wait, that's great.
That's hilarious.
Well, this gone wrong.
Right. I that's know. I was like, oh my God.
Doing
I did
too
not
much.
I did not just make him go blind. Oh my right. God.
Back to cold therapy real quick. When you say cold therapy, what do you mean? Are we taking ice baths? Are we doing cold showers? Besides dunking your face, what else are we doing?
So I really like cold plunges are really great if you have access to them. The other thing that I like and personally do is cryotherapy at one of those places that you can do it at. And I try to aim for 12 minutes a week. That's what Dr. Huberman has done like research on for all the benefits to get from cold therapy. But also Dr. Navah talks about this too, just doing cold showers and practicing breathing exercises while you do that. Cause obviously not everyone's going to have access or the funds or means to go like buy a membership at one of those places, but you can still get the same benefits from just doing a cold shower. So at the end of your shower, switching it all the way to cold and then just trying to, it's really uncomfortable, but sitting with it as long as possible while just like controlling your breathing. Cause you get into that cold shock and you want to like, you know, shorten your breath. And that's where you get like the opposite effect. It can be calming, but if you're like in that more flighty state, you won't get the full benefits. So just trying to like practice controlling your breathing while you're in that cold shock state, that's where you get the real nervous system benefits. I like doing contrast therapy too. So like sauna and then cold. And you can actually like feel like the blood rushing to your brain when you do that, because the body's like, whoa, cold rush to all the essential organs.
We've dabbled in hot, cold. Obviously, right, it's all about like convenience. Do you have the access and the funds to be able to do that? So but you're also like, you can do things at home. You can dunk your face in water. You can do a shower. So hearing that is very nice too, because I think we can easily go and want to purchase the red light and go do the sauna. Next thing you know, we're all spending so much money. So having those practical tips is very helpful too. I love that a lot.
Yeah. Also with that too, I was going to say, just because I work with so many clients and I know that like this whole space is really, can be really expensive. There's so many essential things that you can do for your health without purchasing a red light mask, or those are the nice to have tools. But really, if you get your nutrition, practice like the nervous system regulation things on a daily basis that are free and easy, and like movement, sleep, hydration, those honestly foundational things can make such a big difference in your health if you're not in the place to invest in like a red light mask, or, you know, and even if you were like able to do that, there's probably other things that you could purchase that might be more beneficial. But again, like so many of the free things, just being consistent with that will really shift your health.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I think that's a great place to end.
I know.
Because I think everyone says health is like so expensive, and it's like, no. There's a lot you can do for probably cheaper than what you're doing right now.
And honestly, your Instagram is so helpful for those quick tips where you're just like, just go out and get sunshine. You know, and like get the morning sun. I know
people like really, it's funny because people are always like, how do I reduce cortisol? Or like I post so many reels and I really try to be so blunt, but like, some people just literally need a hand-holding thing. I don't know.
Right, you're like, my post from Tuesday, my post from Thursday, my post from today.
I put it right in there. Like, what?
No.
Did you not read my caption?
They did it.
No, they always just never read the caption.
The caption's where the juice is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so awesome. I feel like it's just very quick, to the point. That's what we wanted. And very excited to get this one out to everyone. Yeah. Truly.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
If you guys have any questions or need anything from me, just let me know.
You own your own practice and you have a membership option too. Will you tell everyone about that real quick?
Yeah, so I created 12 personally because I know that when I was struggling with my health, I wanted an affordable way. Obviously, again, the space is expensive and I totally recognize that. So I created 12, which is where you can get all your questions answered about cortisol, like really continue that healing journey on a budget. And then when you're ready to invest in lab testing, I offer one-off Dutch test, GI map, thyroid panel, and you can get a one-time protocol in a review with me, which most other practices, you know, they want you to become a client, so they don't offer that. But I do, because I want to make it affordable and accessible. And you can also do payment plans for the lab testing, but it's definitely at a significantly discounted price. So that's my membership. And then I also have monthly modules where I just talk about different foundational health things like macros, how to follow an anti-inflammatory diet, just like very basic things, especially if you're getting started in this wellness space, that is like the place to go. And then my one-on-one membership, I obviously work with clients one-on-one, a little bit more intensive, especially if you're dealing with more chronic health issues, or if you're just ready to make that investment. It comes with lab testing, you know, regular appointments with me, and truly just customized and individualized protocols for more of those extreme chronic cases too. It's really great. But yeah, it's called the Be Balanced Method. And then my membership is called 12.
Yay. Incredible. Okay. We'll link everything in the show notes too, so people can go and check it out. And then also we'll link your Instagram too, which we love.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yay. Thank you. Amazing. Yeah.